it is. It's basketball. It's not a fucking soft sport.
I love it, Gabe. I love it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Joe Core here of Stats Perform Sports Media. There's a posh intro for you. I'm joined this week by Andrew Canyon. It's been a lean week news-wise, but we did our best. Just a heads up before we go any further, join the NBL Pocket Podcast Corner Pocket Patreon to support the show. It's much appreciated. On that note, a big hello and thank you to the latest patron, David. Welcome. On this episode, Andrew and I talk about the Boomers, both the team, sans NBA players, and possible coaching hires. We talk about that for a good 30 minutes. We make the case for all the major candidates. You know who they are. Gorgian, Gleason, Beveridge, Lemanis. We don't talk about Lemanis that much. The NBL Overtime crew had a great chat about this, or Lemanis' candidacy. Watch their latest episode for that. They probably spoke about him. I can't speak for Andrew, but I feel like his time coaching the national program is over. He'd be a great candidate. He was a fine coach, but he doesn't want the headaches that were Simmons and Bolden and the travel. I don't know, but he doesn't want to do it, and that's more than fine. So I didn't really consider him in any great detail. We talk about the Jack Jumpers and other names and logos. We had a bit of fun with that. And then to end, we spoke about Obi Chai leaving the 36ers. Obi Chai leaving the 36ers and the NBL. It's not a good look. You know, when a starter and rotation player walks out on a club and then a league, never good. Tomorrow morning, looking to the future, tomorrow morning, if all goes well, I'm having the chats with author of The Soul of Basketball and from Sports Illustrated, Ian Thompson. The Soul of Basketball is the story of LeBron James's decision, the Celtics of Garnett, Pierce, and Rondo, and Dirk Nowitzki, and how that all came to a head in those Mavs Heat finals. It's a really great read. To buy it and support the show, use the Booktopia link in the description. Definitely worth your time reading. But for now, enjoy this episode. We're talking off air, everyone. 1995, Wildcats go to London to play in these McDonald's games. They beat Real Madrid, and no one's seen this game. It doesn't exist. I've tried to find it. Andrew, have you seen it or heard of it? Know where we can get copies. What do you think?
Yeah, I've heard about the game, and I would love to see it because apparently the Wildcats smoked Real Madrid, really took them to town after they had the theoretical hangover game against the NBA team, the Rockets. But yeah, apparently the Real Madrid team, the Wildcats came out to play and dominated is the word. But I've never seen footage. I remember watching, I think it was Channel 10 that broadcast the other game. And of course they showed the NBA game because, that's the obvious one. But the other was MIA. You just read it in the newspaper. This is pre-internet.
Just pre-internet. And it's an odd time frame, 95. And then, London, did they record it? I mean, I've gone searching for this game where they played Real Madrid. I've even found a sort of game report of, what happened in the game just written. I haven't found a box score other than the end result. I haven't found who scored. I haven't even been able to find, was there a reason why the Wildcats beat Real Madrid? Was there an injury? What team was on the floor? There's just, it lives in just total myth.
I know, which is almost better in a way. I quite like it being the mysterious game. It's almost like that dream team workout game that finally surfaced. The tapes of that finally surfaced. I don't think we're going to be so lucky with this one.
You know what? I'm going to tap Body on the shoulder. Maybe Body's got, if anyone's got something, it's probably Body. But I don't even think he really does. This game just seemed to happen. It was just a gentleman's agreement that they weren't going to tell anyone.
Yeah, look, I think the Europeans were embarrassed. Never shall we speak of this game again because the Aussies gazumpters.
The Wildcat team is anyway. And we were just saying is that the best NBL team that's ever been? I think the record of just winning it all, beating a team like Real Madrid, playing a team like the Houston Rockets, and sort of you could see the blueprint to where they might play them a bit better than they did if they weren't hungover, if they weren't traveled, if they weren't so on and so forth. You could see where there's a chance for this team to beat. I mean, that was a pretty underhanded Rockets team. I don't think Olajuwon was there. I don't think Drexler was there. Was he there?
No, I don't think so. Mm. Yeah, it was. I think Robert Horry was their that key was guy in that game. Mm. But yeah, Olajuwon was out.
Yeah. Well, let's jump from 95 to today. Andrew, I want to hear your reaction when you found the news or heard the news that Brett Brown was gone.
Surprise and not surprise. It was one of those things. As soon as he lost his NBA gig, two sort of thoughts went through my mind. I thought he's lost some cachet and the linkages that he was theoretically meant to bring. So from a BA perspective, the strategy sort of crumbled around. But from his standpoint, suddenly he's not got a job. You know, he's unemployed. He's perhaps, you know, looking around thinking, is he still Australian? Can he get some JobKeeper, you know, sort of job seeker payments? He needs to find some money. So I think he's going to be on the, running around looking for an NBA gig on a bench somewhere. So it just, how can you potentially coach a national team that may or may not participate in an Olympic Games if that goes ahead? Now, I think just the level of uncertainty, it makes sense that he would not carry on with us, but it throws the whole thing in a loop, doesn't it? The whole Lamana stepping down quickly, the shuffling him in, the Ben Simmons tie up, just everything falls apart.
I look at this and I kind of go, what's... And then did you see Andrew Bogut's tweet by any chance? He was kind of the guy who kind of wouldn't say broke, but he certainly teased it where he's like, oh, something's going on in the Basketball Australia scene. Here we go.
Okay.
I just think for a why is there so much sort of secrecy around the Boomers? You know, most NBA teams air their dirty laundry pretty readily. NBL teams a little bit closer to the chest, but – I mean, when you really boil it down, and this is why I'm actually looking forward to the next Olympic Games without the NBA players, is because it's going to return to what the Olympics sort of still is in every sport other than basketball, which is amateur.
The amateur ethos.
And I look at this Boomers team, and I'm finding it harder and harder to relate because they're not guys plucked from hardware stores to then every 4 years go and play in the Olympics, or plucked from the national program to go and take on, you know. These guys are, you know, this was a team that was a $50 million payroll when it took the floor in Rio, maybe more.
Yeah.
So I'm having a hard time about it. And I look at the motivation around it. I'm sure you read Brett Brown, he said, I'm looking for an NBA gig and COVID uncertainty, so I'm going to step away.
Yeah.
Did you buy that from him?
Yeah, I do. Because, traveling out of the States is going to be a challenge in itself. And then I think more to the point, getting back in. And I just think he doesn't want to risk catching COVID, right? Because he's going to be, if that happens, there's no way he's going to get an NBA gig. So I think he's almost protecting himself from any threat of transmission.
I mean, putting himself in the bubble. In the explanation, my NBA uncertainty, that was mentioned first. And then it was like, traveling with COVID and the family is going to be a nuisance. And I don't think that was a mistake that the NBA job security came first. I think that's the primary objective.
Yeah.
Are you reading anything between the lines? What does this tell you about this Boomers team? Like, to me, there's got a Simmons sniff off this. Do you get that?
Oh, yeah. See, I thought about that. I think that's probably a little bit harsh, a little bit too harsh. I think they could have coexisted. Are you suggesting that perhaps Simmons has said, look,
I'm thinking two things. First of all, I think that Brett Brown has got turfed out of Philadelphia, and he's turned around to Simmons and said, "Hey, I thought we were friends. Thought you had my back." And then he's going, "Oh well, if you don't have my back here, I don't have your back there. You know, forget about it." I think there'd be an element of that where I think Brett Brown would have been standing around going, "Like, hey Ben, I thought you were going to say, you know, if no Brett Brown, no Ben Simmons in 2021, there could be an element of that."
Yeah, I don't know Ben Simmons. But he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to go into the trenches for a coach.
Nor Brett Brown as a coach. Who I thought was okay, but not. You don't stake your reputation on Brett Brown.
No.
You'd rather have Doc Rivers is their new upgrade. So that is an upgrade, I think.
At least until you reach the quarter or semi-finals.
Just don't go 3-1 up, whatever you do. Don't do that. It's an interesting there. But, yeah, as I was saying, like, have you seen Bruno? Do you like Sacha Baron Cohen films?
Yeah, I haven't seen is that the new one? So he's doing what's the new one he's doing? Another
He's done Borat. He's doing
Borat. It's the new one. The new
Bruno Borat, is the one I remember because he goes like he's that Austrian fashionista who wants to become uber famous.
I think that's the one I haven't seen.
Oh, I liked it. There's a scene where he gets off at LAX airports and he's got his like jacket over his head. He's like, no photographers, no paparazzi. But there's no paparazzi there. And he's kind of, and that's where I kind of feel like this boomers team where it's like, oh, no photos. It's the boomers. It's like, well, you know, you're our Olympic team. You're playing in a tournament that has no prize money. A gold medal would be nice. But, you know, ultimately, you're playing in a foreign tournament that's amateur in a foreign country. I'm not standing here with a camera. There's no paparazzi or, you know, so I don't understand this hubbub.
Yeah. Just taking a step back there, the thing that gets me about the Boomers, I feel like they're perhaps one of the most cursed national teams that we've ever experienced. I mean, let alone all the fourth place finishes and the controversies around that. But I also think back and we had, you know, the era when we were going to win a medal last time and then suddenly Luke Longley wasn't available and it fell apart. Right. We missed that opportunity, that window
even
closed.
Even 04, that Athens team that could have done something and who Anstey gets hurt. He was probably the best player at that time. So not that they could have won it, but gee, that was the window. The USA finished third. Puerto Rico got a medal, I think. And we're better than that team. Didn't happen.
And now we're going into 2020. We've got our best ever team, you know, on paper.
And then COVID.
And then COVID hits. And so what's going to happen is we had the perfect timing with the old guard coming to the end, the new guard stepping in, and just that perfect mix of the two.
I've seen that
and
one.
Now, as time goes on, the old guard are aging out without even getting to play, and we're going to be left with a shell of a national team. If the NBA guys are just out, well, what have you got?
Yeah.
You got...
That brings us to my next kind of question.
Damian Martin out of retirement.
Well, that brings me to my next sort of point here. Hang on, if I can bring up my thing here. So let's say no NBA, because if the NBA is playing at the same time as the Olympics, they're not going to be there. All right?
Nope.
My question, if I could just throw a question out to you that's, you know, just without even thinking about it. If we lose, if the Australian team of Basketball Australia loses all of its NBA players, but then so does every other country, obviously, the USA is the worst hit, but does it kind of all even out? It seems like Australia is one of the worst hit teams.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all in on our NBA talent, aren't we? I think some of those, like you look at, Argentina, was it the Worlds did quite
Louis
well?
Louis Scola, you know, a few guys who are certainly, but yeah, they're at a transitional phase.
They had some good players. I don't think they were too heavily represented by NBA talent. I think they had fringe NBA guys maybe, but I think they're in good position. I mean, Spain, what do they got? They got a few NBA guys.
I don't know them too well, but I mean, we get
Hernan Gomez.
We get three starters depart the Boomers: Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, Aaron Baines. Three starters, one of which is the highest scorer of the team and the tournament, or the World Cup anyway, not the Olympics, but close to. Am I right in saying this is the team I kind of had on paper of UK, not UK, Europe and Australian talent?
Okay.
Man, is Bogut the starting center along with Nick Kay, Ryan Brokoff, Bryce Cotton, if, and big if, and then I've got Dellavedova. That looks to me the best starting five.
Is Delly in the NBA or is he out of contract? So.
He's out of contract and he's looking to sign a new one and he's on the wrong side of 30-something.
Yeah, he's done.
Didn't have a great year. So, but, you know, and that's a starting five with Cotton and with Bogut, who I saw photographs of the Sydney Kings training the other day and Bogut wasn't there.
Nah, I can't see Bogut. I don't see how you can go this long without playing at that age and then step into international play. Unless you're just
the only thing that is his body's so beaten up that he needs to reset the deck. You're right. I think the longer you're out, the worse. I think if he's not, but who's to say he's not lightly training somewhere else? I don't know. I kind of leave the door slightly ajar. He's a mysterious fellow.
He is.
They're off the bench.
Landale in?
Landale is a close backup to Kay, if not a starter.
He's not.
Brock Modem?
Yes.
Creek. Golden, McCarron, Bolden, and then
Bolden. Dell. You're welcoming Bolden back into
absolutely
the team.
Absolutely, I'm welcoming back in. Okay. Absolutely. He's essential. He's a 4-5, which is, if Bogut's not there, or even if he is, that's a lineup he's going to have to be a part of. So someone, whoever the next coach is going to have to patch that one up.
Well, it's clearly not going to be Lamanis if you've got Bolden.
No, Lamanis is not. This is, if I could just cement something about Lamanis as well. Like, he wasn't fired by Basketball Australia. They didn't tap him on the shoulder and shit can him. He quit that position. He'd had enough of the BS, whatever that BS may be. But Basketball Australia were shocked he went to them and said, I don't want to do it anymore. They kind of said to him, no, would you stay? We've had a decent run at this. We're still going. He said, no, I don't want any part of it. Then Longley, out of loyalty, goes, no, if Lamanis isn't here, I'm not either. Yep. He probably should have stayed, but I think he just operates on a level of loyalty that's...
Yeah. It's just all personal for him.
Yeah, specific to him. Yep. And left. But yeah, that looks like the team with Adele, Giddy, Magne. These are going to be boomers.
It's thin. It's pretty thin, isn't it? The thing that strikes me is you get back to the old problem. We don't have enough scoring threats. This has always been the problem with Australian teams, is there are not enough guys who can just get a bucket. You know, suddenly it's Bryce Cotton is your
Bryce
bucket.
Cotton,
he's your bucket getter. But he's,
serious question.
Why don't we have Australian guys like that who can just get buckets?
Chris Golding? He's probably the best bucket getter on the team.
Would you trust him? Trust Bryce Cotton to get me a bucket. I don't trust Chris Golding.
I certainly wouldn't trust Golding to the degree of Cotton. I'd trust him to a degree, but not.
He might get you a step back, fade away, rainbow arcing three with a hand in the face.
And he will make him on occasion, but not enough. Not in a tournament, not enough. What about Brookhoff? Have you seen enough of him play?
Ironically, the most
minute with the Mavericks.
The most I've seen him play is with the Boomers. What a guy to have sitting in the corner. That's really all I know of him, is he can sit there and knock threes down. He's rangy, you know.
Serious question.
I like him.
Let's say the NBA guys are still there. Who's the better scorer out of Cotton and Mills? And I mean this really seriously.
It's a close run thing.
It is really close.
Really close.
Like you say, everything you kind of say in Mills' favor is stuff that Cotton just hasn't had the opportunity to prove. And you say, Patty Mills is doing it in the NBA. Well, no game of Patty's in the NBA that I've seen has been too dissimilar from when Cotton had 27 with the Jazz when he, you know, his first year there. And
yeah.
And then you say, Mills got all those great Olympic tournaments. I said, well, you know, if Cotton was at those tournaments playing that system and that style, probably does something similar. So, yeah, what do you think?
I think they're a pigeon pair. It's really hard to split them. You think, they're both quick. Both got good handles. Who plays defense better? Gosh, there's not much in that either.
Not much in that. I think Cotton's probably Patty's a bit bigger. He seems a little bit wider, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah. The only thing maybe Patty, just because he brings perhaps the intangibles, the passion, the understanding of the Boomers and what they are.
You're off the box score stuff. Yeah. I think Cotton, I hope this kind of happens. So you can see Bryce Cotton. And then the question for Basketball Australia is, all of a sudden they're there, this rich, long history, and all of a sudden they're going to if Cotton naturalizes, you're going to have this ring in who's coming for the first time, and all of a sudden he's your best scorer and the guy you got to play through, I think, with a team like this.
And what does that mean for the coaching? Does that mean, you've got Bryce Cotton, now we have to have Trevor Gleason because he knows how to get the most out of it. You know,
you're looking at that starting five, and I think Kay's better than Landale. I think at that World Cup, Landale was just a little bit young, the body wasn't quite there. I think the skills are great, but for whatever reason, just when Landau was stepping backwards, Nick Kay was stepping up. Uh-huh. Two of the best five players on this non-NBA Boomers team are Wildcats. So the question then is, why wouldn't you push your chips all in with those two players who are Wildcats, and therefore their coach, and go, you know what, we're gonna take the Wildcats to the Boomers, essentially. Yeah.
We'll replace Cam Glidden with Clint Steindl, and then we'll run the motion offense.
You are wicked. You know, run that flex stuff and all the trip stuff. And you look at it and you're like, well, the team's pretty good for it. Obviously Kane Cotton know it, and Brokoff is sort of a, you know, Tarico White-ish player. It makes a lot of sense. What do you think? Who do you think should take over the coaching and why?
Oh yeah, I've been thinking about this too. Who would I put in? And all the typical names.
List?
It's all the usual suspects, isn't it? You've got Gleeson, Gorgon, Will Weaver, Rob Beveridge. They're sort of the guys that
the name you don't hear is Joey Wright. Who I'd like to kind of at the very least throw on that shortlist.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he's
burnt too many bridges in his time.
Or bridges have been burnt for him, one of the two, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go through that shortlist.
Oh god, look.
Gorgon.
I feel like his dash is done.
I feel like you're sort of getting the guy who's heading towards getting a pension. Back into the number one seat. We haven't seen him coach in years. Who knows if he's still got it? Is he still senile? Is he coaching well? I don't know these things. He's like 67 or something now, isn't he?
Yeah, about that age. You know, that's pretty old. And I just think also he had his time. I really did like his comments in the press about maybe taking the job. Did you read those?
Oh, I did, about how, you know, if
you're military service,
if you're asked, you step up, you respond. Yeah. I appreciate that. And great, I like the fact that he is, you know, he's an American originally, but he's a good Australian representative, right there.
No, so I really enjoyed that answer. I thought that was very Gorgon, but also very, very right under the circumstances.
I just worry, Gorgon, the last time I saw him coach, it was a different era in basketball, right?
15 years ago.
You know, it was a beat him down, bruise him. You know, not take a lot of 3-point shots. I just don't know how that translates these days. I want to see some evidence.
Beveridge?
He's been out of the game a while now, hasn't he?
2-3 years, yeah.
And I wonder, similarly, has it passed him by a little?
Presumably not to the extent of Gorgon. It's only been 2 years, but
we haven't seen him coach a really good team in a long time, though, have we? He's always had the up and comers, the all effort guys.
I think that isn't that the Boomers though. I mean, the Boomers are ranked third overall in the world, so they're expected to do something. But I still feel like that ranking is a result of some fortuitous results in the World Cup and what have you.
Yep.
But Beveridge, what I like about him is did that thing with Scotland, always seems to get a little bit more out of a team than he rightfully should. I also think his coaching style is good for tournament play. Tournament play is you're playing one game, then a game the next 2 days after travel. Like he just seems to thrive in that environment where it's a little bit of a lolly scramble. I like him in that instance. That's why I like him. And, you know, I think in a tournament, defense, you have to play good defense because shots, you're going to have a bad game. You're going to have a bad game in a tournament.
Yep.
And it just works. So for me, the moment I saw that Brett Brown had stepped down, I said, oh, just call Rob Beveridge.
Yeah.
But would he be the top of your shortlist or not so much?
I actually forgot about the Scotland thing. And you're right, he did a good job with them. So, yeah, good point. And I love Rob Beveridge. I'm still disappointed he's not coaching the Wildcats. Like, he was so good over here, and I don't know what happened. There was something went on behind the scenes.
He kind of has
–
There are two types of people. You're either the log or the fire. And the fire, you know, gets burnt, but it needs the log to burn. I think Beveridge is a bit of a fire character. But that's if you know they're going in, that's not bad. You can harness the fire is a tool. You can harness it. But, you know, if you're not careful, you will get burned. I think there's an element with him. But that's, you know, that's predictable at this stage.
So, look, yeah, I think for me, yeah, Rob Beveridge is my number one guy.
Not Weaver?
I don't get the big love for Will Weaver. Where has this come from?
You're get he's only
35.
He's 35 or 6. 2 years head coaching experience.
He has got a bloody good publicist. Because how do you get some guys who just build this reputation? Like he's done nothing more than Matt Campbell. Didn't he coach for a season or two? Like...
Mm, oh, probably.
What makes him so special?
Mm, and then you look at his performance with the Boomers in that New Zealand game. That looked like a very much a feeling out process there. You know, it's not like that. They should have lost that game that badly. You know, I didn't watch his G League games. Can't comment on those. But they did lose in the final. They lost Creek at a, you know, right in the playoffs as he got called up, which I'm sure didn't help. But, you know, these games, you either win these games or you lose them. You know, yeah. I don't know how else to play. And then the Kings' effort, obviously they finished really well through the season, but people pointing to the Kings too much, my answer would be, well, there's a big difference between a, what, 6 or 8 game or 9 game tournament and a 28-game long, 34-game season to win a title. You know, it's not like for like, and he didn't win that either. You know, in a 5-game series with the Wildcats, that was looking like they were going to lose, even though they were probably more talented. And then you look at the series against Melbourne. I mean, gee, just that was a squeaker.
Yep.
Yep. So when you look at it, breaking it down in, you know, those small sort of quote unquote finals or tournaments, you know, not a record that you just go, oh, someone call Will Weaver.
Yeah. Get it. Yeah.
Same.
He sort of strikes me as a coach that obviously has fundamentally sound, you would say, but
yeah, official.
Sure. Those pressure moments, can he pull something, you know, a rabbit out of the hat?
Yeah. And does he have the reps? You're only as good as a weightlifter is. You know, only as good as the thousand or so, hundreds of thousands of reps he's done in the past. And you just, without those, there's no way to cheat it. And then you look at the substitutions and things. He's very much a season-long type coach where you can see where his stuff in-game is very much through the season and maintaining players. In a tournament, that's not what you want. You want situational stuff that's very of the moment, bold decisions in a heartbeat. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think that's his strength. Not at this stage of his career anyway.
And I want to see, you know, in a tournament like you say, you might decide, I'm going to mix up my starting five and I'm going to give this guy who doesn't get any court time, he's going to get 25 minutes because situationally it matches and we need to rest for the next game. You know, I just don't see any evidence of him really being able to do that sort of
mix
and match.
Joe Wright, quick conversation. Would you give it to him under any circumstance? You're not as high on Joe Wright as I am.
I'm not. But if I take off my, you know, preconceived notions of Joey Wright, perhaps if you gave him that sort of, I mean, you're talking basically go out and coach an all-star team in a sense. Mm. You know, you've got highly talented guys 1 through 12. I do like the idea of what Joey Wright might be able to get out of a team like that.
I just don't think one thing I'll say for Joey is I don't think a Boomers team with him as coach would step on the floor and be like, oh, okay, Angola, easy peasy. That doesn't happen with him. And if it did, then, you know, there'd be trouble. And, you know, you look at some of these names that are on there that have been coached by him, Creek, Golding, you know, a couple of guys. So, you know, what's the relationship with them? Him and Creek seem to get along very well.
Yep.
You know, does he get a lot out of them? As I said, like, I don't think there's, because there's always that tournament where when you look at the travel schedule the Boomers did in China for the World Cup, say, there's games, this crisscrossing a really big country. You got to make sure that guys who are, you know, 34, 35, you know, are up for the game. And I think Joey Wright does that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just had a thought. There you go. Daniel Johnson finally gets his run.
Well, good point. And here are all the possible ins. I wrote them down who weren't a part of the World Cup team.
Before we do this, should we finish off our coaching shortlist?
Yeah, coaching. And then the last option I had is Gleeson. Isn't that one? And I think he makes, at this point, it's either him or Beveridge for me. Are you the same way?
I think so, yeah. And I'm grudging respect for Trevor Gleeson. I never really liked him, but you can't knock his results.
And especially with the makeup. If Cotton's there, I mean, a big if, by the way.
Yeah.
If Cotton's there, I say you go, you know what? We're gonna in a tournament and a team that's had so much instability, we're gonna inject some.
Yep.
Just in that K Cotton Gleeson relationship. Okay, at least we have something that's got a bedrock to it, not just, hey, here's Gorgon after 20 years. Here's this team that's been put together in an instant. There's some semblance of a track for the train to run on.
Yep.
That's what I think. All right, so here are all the potential ins that I know. And I don't know, you know, there's Australians probably hidden around Europe that I've not gone on. Anyway, so the big outs I've got are Mills, Ingles, Baines. We spoke about that before. And, you know, possibly Brokhoff. But right now, if they haven't got a contract with the NBA, I'm presuming they are eligible.
Okay.
And the possible ins: Jonah Bolden, Xavier Cooks, Brock Modem, Bryce Cotton, Angus Brandt, Deng Adel, Ryan Brokoff, Cam Bairstow, one of the lower of the list, but on there. Nate Jawai, where the bigs are limited.
Yeah.
Mitch McCarron, Mango Mathiang, but I think he's just got hurt. Brad Newley makes the list, I think, after his year. Yeah, where the wing is, yeah. Daniel Johnson, as you said. Isaac Humphries, young kid, but, you know, 7 footers are rare. Josh Gideon, Will Magnate. Outside of that, I don't see anyone who's really knocking on the door.
No Clint Steindl. Look, I'm not huge on Clint Steindl. I'm just thinking about all
he's
the
a shooter. No, he deserves consideration.
I need somebody.
He deserves a look. Points. He'll be in the squad.
Yeah, I yeah.
Big guy, ranging, makes sense.
I don't have the list of players in front of me, but nobody jumps out as, you know, having been missed off that list. Mm. It's it just doesn't strike any fear, though, does it? I mean, that whole list of names.
Cotton to me is the only one where I'm like, I still think if you go to a tournament with Cotton, you know he's going to be dangerous. And I don't think teams are going to scout him very well. If he's doing the stuff he does in Perth that we know runs well, I'd actually be relatively optimistic. And here's the other thing as well. I think we've spoken about it before with the Boomers. I feel like if I sat them all down the row, Bogut, Mills and Ingles, and I'd say, guys, are you having any fun playing for the Boomers?
Mm.
I think their answer would be no. I think actually their answer would be definitely no.
Because of the pressure
that they've put on themselves. And as I said, this Bruno thing, of like, oh, it's so important. No, can't talk to us. We're trying to medal. Man, just have fun with it. You're at an amateur tournament. Also, an amateur tournament that's played overseas. It'd be different if it was the Sydney Games where, you know, Australia's making some money off this thing, building stadiums, restaurants are getting some money. If you go to Tokyo, it's at a decent time zone, so people are watching on telly. But other than that, you can't, and the other thing I hate about the Olympics is people can't cover it because the Olympics is very stingy with its footage.
Yeah, yep.
So it's an amateur tournament. Just go, have some fun. You're playing a tournament. Who cares, you know?
Yeah, okay.
That's something I'd inject in them. Of like, you know what? This is found money. So what if it's a medal? Have some fun because it just looks, that team looks angsty, upset.
It's a play loose. Is that what you're saying? Just go play out loose. There, roll the ball out and, you know.
A medal would be great, but I'm not hung up on it. I'd rather see a stronger domestic program in the NBA than I would a medal. You know,
yeah.
The medal doesn't really, you know, I think like the BA is kind of chasing its tail a little bit where I don't know if I'd even call them the Australian Boomers anymore. I think they're more the Basketball Australia Boomers. I think it's become that insular amongst them. But yeah, I'd just say it's not that big a deal. Make them alone in that.
I quite like it. I think, change the story, change the script. Why not?
It gives you the chance to do it more than ever.
And maybe you say, all right, at the very least, we're going to blood some new talent. You go, this is our chance. We're going to do our best, but it's a weird time. Maybe you put in a couple of young guys.
I don't know about that, but I mean, just the thing of the big question for me is going to be, can Basketball Australia and this Boomers team that's so cemented in its ways seemingly embrace Bryce Cotton? Because not only should it has to.
Yep.
And even if the NBA guys do play, he needs to be a part of something because he can score, he can shoot, he can pass. If they treat him in the same way that Ricky Grace was treated 20 years ago.
Don't get me started.
Are we trying to win a medal or what, you know, Cotton's he's a great player. He deserves it. If he's Australian.
Can I ask you one about another please. Player? Sunday Deck, would you put him in the team?
Oh, squad, yes, but I don't, only 12 guys can be picked. And, you know, Kay, as I said, Bogut, Kay, Brokoff, Cotton, Dellavedova, they're all in. Modem, Landau, Creek, Golding, McCarron is the guy I've got as the guard backup, and I feel like he's pretty good because you only need three guards.
He's
a versatile and he's athletic. He can defend. I'm a big fan of his game, and he can play one, he can play two. Yeah. I feel like Sunday, I don't know. I just like McCarron better.
I've been listening to a few of those NBL Rewind interviews recently. Got to say, Simon Curl, sensational. Like, wow, what a different player from what I remember when I used to watch him. What a different guy. But they do a lot of talk about Jason Smith Yeah, he used to play back in the day. And Mitch McCarron to me is the modern Jason Smith.
Yeah, I see that. Even build, quite square build, arched back. Yeah, I get it.
Defensively, but can score, not really fearful. Yeah.
The other guy we're not being very kind to is Sobey. He's returning from the World Cup. Would you rather have Nathan Sobey or Mitch McCarron?
Ooh, gosh. I'd like to see him go one-on-one and first to 21 gets the spot.
Honestly, that's a coin flip for me. I like both. I think I like McCarron. The reason why I'd go with McCarron is I like him as a little bit more of a pace setter, ball handler. Just a fraction, but that's probably being a bit unkind to Sobey, who's had a year of it now. Maybe he's improved, but yeah,
if you're putting Sobey at the two guard, I'm okay with it.
Perfect.
Because he can accelerate to the rim. He's got a reasonable jump shot. I don't like him as a point guard. I don't know what that is all about. They need to move off that.
Mm. But it was looking like Dellavedova was looking in such trouble with this team because you had we had Exum available. You had Simmons, obviously. And all of a sudden, the ball's back in his hands by the look of it, if he's not in the NBA, which Josh Giddey is the other one who's an interesting little player. But you know, he'll be, 18, 19? Too young.
I don't care
how talented he is. Too young. He'll get pushed around.
Yeah.
Done with the Boomers, you think?
I think so. It's just a real bummer. It's just a total bummer. Mm-hmm. So
I see some optimism with the average thing. I don't know if you saw on NBL.com. Quite annoying. Had interviews with 11 NBA teams. Does it surprise you that he's having interviews with NBA teams? Does it surprise you that it's 11? That's a lot of teams.
It is. Like, he was pretty good last season.
Yeah.
Still strikes me as a bit of a project guy at the NBA level.
The draft and stash options are appealing, where you can draft him and if he becomes good over there, good luck, and they don't have to pay him for a couple of years when times are tight. That all makes sense.
It's ultimately so much of the draft and stuff is just the stock market, isn't it? And you're trying to buy low, sell high, find a diamond in the rough. You know, so you've got to take a flyer sometimes, take a portfolio approach to your investments. You know that you're going to get 10 duds, but maybe one of those guys will turn out better than you hoped. And that's probably where he's at.
Well, he's got a tough road. He's ranked 94th of 100, and there's only, 30 teams?
Yeah.
So, he's going to jump 34 spots. Oh, for sure. And there's potential in him. 6'5"-ish, long wing, bit rangy, still kind of slight, there's a lot of good. That's a position that's coveted in the NBA. So I'm not surprised he's getting a bit of heat. I do wish him a lot of luck.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I do think he's going to need it. But we'll see. Andrew, you had a question for me about logos and things.
Yes, because we're in the we're certainly in the doldrums, so we're having to scrape the barrel to try and find some topics to talk about. But I was thinking the big hoopla around the Jack Jumpers.
Oh yeah, actually, I've got some questions for you on that quickly. Just before we jump onto the new logos we're going to design here, but that reaction to that. Now, first of all, do you like the name? Yes or no? Are you liking it more and more over time, or less and less over time?
Yes, I like it, and yes, I'm liking it more and more.
Same.
I'm right behind it. Hey, I was born in Tasmania. I got to get behind this.
Right. Have you ever been bitten by one or come into contact with one of these?
Are they anything like a bull ant? That's like.
Well, yeah, the mascot's actually a really good rendition, because only as it had been announced that I saw David Attenborough's Tasmania. And they did a little thing. He did a little thing on the Jack Jumper.
Okay.
And it's poisonous enough to kill a person if it strikes you enough.
Wow.
Or many of them strike you at once. So it is this crazy thing.
Yep.
Jack Jumpers, it is quite a lot of syllables, Jack Jumpers.
I think it's fun though. It's fun to say. I just like saying that. Jack Jumpers, Jack Jumpers.
Jack Jumpers. I think it makes way more sense than those other options. I really quite dislike the other options. The only one that I kind of like was, I thought they should have been the Hilltoppers, which is just as stupid as Jack Jumpers. Because, there's a lot of hills. It's the hilliest of the states. And Mountaineers I thought was a little bit too docile. But Tridents, I really liked it.
The others were just also meh. Like they've gone off the
generic.
The conveyor belt of generic team names.
Custom teams on a computer game or
something. Yeah.
I really like it, and I like the design around it. One thing I will say, and I don't know if you listened to the last podcast I did, but the reaction of like, this is a stupid name, this is dumb, and then that video they put out that was really aimed at kids. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I did.
And I'd had a few sort of reservations about the name, not that I cared terribly, but any reservation I had, I was like, oh yeah, this is an NBL team. This is predominantly for kids.
Yep.
And I felt that anyone who had been critical to that point would have felt a little bit bad, don't you think? Like it would have been like kind of like ruining Christmas almost.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's I like it. And as a parent of kids, I could see them really getting behind something like that. Kids really buy into, you know, the amount of times I've taken my kids to a Wildcats game, and it's been the whole event. Like, Where's Wilbur?
Yeah, where's Wilbur?
And I'm sorry.
You remember Woozy?
Oh, that's right, the little guy.
Woozy was when they still had the, before they went to the Black Cat logo, they had the yellowy logo, and that was Woozy. He had the mane. He was actually actually a lion, because they're not really a lion, are they?
It was something along those lines, but yeah, lions. Yeah, I tell you what though, here's my little bit of feedback for the Wildcats. It's been bugging me for a long time. The Wilbur you have at the moment, he sucks. He does not interact with the crowd very much at all. And when you've got a kid haggling you, and I'm sorry, kid, Wilbur's still down at the courtside boxes again.
Oh, really? You think that Wilbur knows where his bread is buttered, isn't it?
Wilbur's looking after the corporates, not the kids.
You think there's a pocket stitch into that outfit where he's getting tips to kind of hang out?
Yeah, not happy
corporate
about
babysitter.
It. Not happy about that at all.
Well, if Wilbur's listening, you can't do that.
No. Bring back the old Wilbur from a few years ago. He's way better. Anyway.
Departure. But yeah, the name and go on.
So, yeah. So what I was thinking in the spirit of the Jack Jumpers and the way that every team now, when you release a logo and a brand, you need to have a story behind it. You can't just say, hey, we're the Jack Jumpers because we thought it was cool. You got to say, you know, they work together as a team and they sting and they attack and they move fast, just like us on a basketball court.
Sure.
So, you know, okay, I took that. And I thought, what if I, Andrew Canyon, was the basketball team? So this is the new Andrew Canyon franchise.
Okay.
What would my name be and what would the story behind that be? How would I sell this?
If you're at home, do this in your own head, and if you're waiting for a bus or something. But yeah, go for it, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a fun game to play. So what I came up with is Andrew Canyon, team name, the Crabs.
I thought you were going to go with the Cannons, but that's okay.
Too obvious. No.
Too obvious? Okay. The Crabs. All right.
And this is very
I'm getting a hue-ish thing because you've got sort of strawberry blonde hair and the crab is sort of a pinkish color, at least the crabs I think of.
Mate, you are looking at my dot points. You're on the money. See, this means that I've obviously nailed it. I've nailed the brief because you're already thinking it before I've told you.
Nailed the brief.
So yeah, what we've got. So a crab, arms and legs everywhere. Right. Now that's kind of me. I'm, what am I, 6'4", 6'5", something like that, depending on whether I'm wearing my high heels or not. I've got gangly arms. All right. They're moving around all over the place. I've got long fingers, you know.
Yeah.
Just claw-like. Just bits moving around all over the place, if you picture it, all right? Mm-hmm. Work with me here, okay?
I'm working.
A crab is pretty tough on the exterior, but, and this is where it comes to me personally, bit of a soft underbelly.
Okay. But you know, do you want that in a sports team? You're projecting what you're saying.
No, you don't actually, but, you know, that is me. You know, I'd play defense to a point that I was going to get hurt, and then I'd be like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't care that much. So, you know.
Okay. It's accurate. Nothing else.
Look, yeah, you know, it's the next dot point, you got it. You know, bright orange. Now, that is me after being put under the heat. Yes, I've got a ginger beard at the moment. If I get a bit of sunburn, I am going bright orange. Pink. So I literally look like a crab. Put under
the Andrew
heat.
Canyon crabs.
Yep.
You know, it rolls. It's got a good roll to it.
Okay. Now, you might be saying at this point, Andrew, I like what you're saying, but some of those points you're mentioning kind of negative connotations as well.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I know. I thought about that. All the negatives, right? But the crab is still really highly valued. It's still hella expensive.
It's expensive. This is true.
So it's still the Rolls Royce of seafood.
Pistachio.
Yeah.
Right.
So we are like the Andrew Kenyon Crabs. Bit weird, but still really well highly valued.
Gotcha. No, I can see you could build a story around that. Your pitch video would be exciting.
Can you see the crab? Sort of the.
I can see the crab. I worry about copyright infringement because a lot of famous crabs out there. You've got Sebastian the crab from The Little Mermaid.
Oh yeah.
You got to worry about that. You can't. I mean, I don't know if he's a lobster or a crab. I forget. He kind of blurs the line between the two. You know, he is a lobster. Who are some other famous crabs?
You've got the shiny one from Moana.
Oh yeah.
So shiny.
Yeah. So you got a few worries there, but I don't think you'd get hung up on that. I think there you go. The crabs.
Crabs. Yeah. Mm. And wouldn't it be fun to cheer?
Crabs.
Yeah.
And you could do like any gig. Oh, okay. Here we go. Whoa. At the first game, you hand out little, like, I know it's annoying sound, but little maracas. You know?
Yeah.
So people get the little sort of, you get the little clipping sound as people are at the foul line.
Just like
a scuttering crap. Yep. And you think you're onto something?
Can you imagine a chat? Yeah. Who's got the crabs? I've got the crabs.
I knew this innuendo was coming up at some point. Yeah, that is a worry though. You don't see many sports teams after the crab because of that.
No, you'd probably keep away some of the groupies.
You know, that's occupational hazard. You're two birds, one stone there. I don't know if it would, but it should. Hopefully it serves as some deterrent.
Look at all those groupies hanging around with the crabs.
But that might cost you in signings. You know, it's hard to... That's part of the perks of a team, isn't it? I came up with my own, if you'd like all to hear it.
I would love to hear it.
All right, the Joke Corps, the Pocket Podcast. A bird I love. Well, first of all, I've been doing this big push to keep all... From now on, all new sports teams have to be native animals, right? Just because, we're the lions. There's no lions in this country. It's ridiculous. And we've got plenty of ferocious animals, sharks, crocodiles.
Yep.
Pick them. Jack jumpers, you know, take them. I kind of went in a different angle. Yes, this is a dangerous animal, but not the way you'd think. Okay. And I go specific, not just like, the birds or the whatever.
Right.
I like to be specific. The miners. MYNA. So all of a sudden you get miners. It's a conversation starter in itself because people go, the miners, like with the torch and the pickaxe. No, miner with a Y. The miners, the miner bird. Meat eating bird, sharp beak, but mainly it's worms. I don't think they're actually over in the West Coast, only on the East Coast.
That
does limit your options of where you could place your team.
Okay.
But their colors are gray, black, and they have yellow around the eye.
Oh yeah, yeah, I like that.
So that's a good color combination. I haven't seen that color combination. I can't name another team that's got black, gray, and yellow.
Underutilized color.
For sure. I don't know if it plays so well on TV because it can be confused with white. I mean, you got Hawthorn and a few other teams. But anyway, they're your colors, which are, you know, they don't clash first and foremost. And why specifically for me, yellow is my favorite color. And it's also Roald Dahl's favorite color.
Roald Dahl. I was reading, I read a chapter of The Witches just last night.
Oh, wow. You know, that's the one I haven't read. I've read all the others. Never read The Witches. Perfect marriage of illustration and writer, Quentin Blake. The yellow, gray. They haven't got great eyesight. I am bespectacled, so glasses. Native, which is good, and also fiercely protective. So they live in hollows in trees. You could have like a guy running around with like a tree stump, and like in it's like a puppet. He pokes out, and the bird comes out like a cuckoo clock kind of thing. Fiercely aggressive, although very very small. They will ward off any other bird that tries to take their spot, and they gang up on them big time. And they're super aggressive. The first punch.
Bad news for the hawks.
Bad news for the hawks. Bad news for any bird. Twice their size. Cockatoos will get it. Lorikeets will get it. Rosellas will get it. Crows will get it. Much bigger bird. Mine is only about the size of a. I'm looking at a computer mouse, and they're honestly about that size. And they'll attack. They'll swoop in three or four at a time. Yeah. So, you know, strike first, strike hard. Sort of Cobra Kai motto going on there. We won't go down that rabbit hole again. and that's my team. Miners.
I really like it. I think you. Yeah. I'm surprised. I feel like you left one on the table though. Like Bird, you couldn't you have been the Corkaburras?
You know, I didn't want to go down the wordplay route. I thought, no, I'm going to take this seriously. Corkaburras.
That's all I got. But I like the Miners. I think that is legit good.
The Melbourne Miners. That's what, you know, maybe the Phoenix could, if they don't, that doesn't work out. The Southeast Melbourne Miners. Ooh. Is that a role or what?
That is good.
Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. That it's not good. You know, you've got a metronome out. It doesn't work well. But Southeast Melbourne Miners.
Where's the next franchise going to be put?
Geelong is an option.
Canberra, the same old sort of argument.
Canberra, I've put a line through Canberra. I just don't think they want one.
We're really running out of cities, aren't we?
I mean, Gold Coast, Newcastle. Could you have a third New South Wales team? I don't see another team coming up. What's the league at now?
New Zealand, number two, isn't it? That's the next team. Do they have minor birds?
I don't think so.
No.
But they've got that many great animals. But talk about just quickly on logos. Jack Jumpers, where does it jump into the list of names? I think it's in the top echelon, as in the top three name.
The name?
Breakers is horrible.
Breakers is terrible. Kings.
It's Sydney Kings. Listen, Kings in of itself is poor, but Sydney Kings kind of has a bit of a role to it, don't you think?
Yeah, and so, it's just such heritage there now that it's worth
pink. Purple and gold. It kind of works with the city a little bit. A bit of a Lakers knockoff, but not too bad. But if they've gone with this new, have you seen this new bridge logo? The Sydney Opera House seems to have not resolved itself yet, and a lot of the merchandise online has got this bridge on it.
Which looks just like the Golden Gate Bridge, right?
Yeah, it's a Golden State Warriors kind of mock. It's not bad, but I hope
that's not it. I hope this is still a formal launch.
We'll see. Wildcats is
terrible.
I mean, there's 1,000 Wildcats.
Yeah,
Kentucky.
That name makes no sense. It was I would love to know the story of how that name actually came to be. Because, God, they didn't really – I mean, it was obviously – clearly, it was 1982, wasn't it? So, I don't think they put as much thought into these things back then.
No, and there was so – WA's got some nice animals you could chuck on there. How there's no Sharks team? Anyway, what do I know? But, Breakers is pretty modest. Phoenix doesn't seem to fit for me. Cairns Taipans is great. Their color scheme and
everything. 36ers. I like the story of how it comes about, but it's too
common. For some reason, it works for me. It shouldn't, but it does work for me. Not that it's at the top, but it's
at least it's different.
Oh, one thing before we now talk about 36ers, one thing I want to talk to you about, and we'll end pretty soon because we're amazingly at 50 minutes. But
this is the professionals that we are. We can drag a no news day and make an hour out.
We're children of a depression, 91, and then also today. So, we know how to stretch the broth. You just keep adding a few cups of water. Obi Chai,
yep.
Leaves the 36ers.
Yep.
And comes to Sydney, not the Kings, just picks up a fashion label in Sydney. Were you shocked to hear that news?
So, I probably need to be briefed a little bit more. I knew he'd gone to Sydney. I heard some gags about him and clothes. What is actually going on here?
He's just quit the NBL.
He's out.
He had a year left on that deal with Adelaide and said, you know what, I don't want any part of it. My understanding is just wasn't enjoying the post-Joey Wright era, just wasn't on board with that, that schism through that club where you've kind of got pro-Joey Wright, anti-Joey Wright, and obviously the anti's taken over.
So he's not...
He didn't want to hear it anymore and just picked up his bags and left.
And he's not keen to try and win another gig? He's not...
Well, seemingly not. Something must have come up business-wise with, I think it's the clothing line, and he's gone, you know what, it's beaten out of me. And I couldn't believe it when I heard this.
That's disappointing, isn't it? I mean...
Oh, it's just a bad look for... It's a bad look for the 36ers, first and foremost. It's a bad look for the sport and the league. Well, not the sport, but the league. Where it's, if you can't retain guys And he was looking like a decent sort of player.
Yeah.
He would make a lot of teams.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Adelaide signed Keanu Pinder over the top of him. I don't think there's going to be a huge gap between those two players.
Yeah.
The Sydney Kings are obviously, he's now in Sydney. I think he's from Sydney. I mean, would you be that, would you want Craig Moller or OBJ?
I'd take Obi.
Really? It's a tough one for me. I'd probably take Moller, but I wouldn't be, you know.
If I was a Kings fan last year, Moller, man, he is just an exercise. You can clearly see the Dockers' blood in him because he is an exercise in frustration. It's like, mate, they are leaving you
open. I like that. An exercise in frustration, yeah.
You're being left open at the three-point line for a reason. And there comes a point when you shooting that open shot is not punishing them. Yep. You're actually rewarding them for good defense.
It's put it away. Very interesting to play a whole year because you know Weaver's very green light. If it's a three, shoot it. Kasper Wirt of 9, keep shooting it.
Yep.
The numbers say we'll get it on the back end. Yep. And I think Moller could be the one breaker of that rule where he could shoot them all day.
Look, I've got a mate of mine who is involved in the Bridgetown Basketball Association. Does a lot of coaching, Aussie hoops and that kind of thing, as well as the junior comps. He recently said he set up for his little juniors. They had to get their 3-point shooting license. They had to shoot
Wow. So, little driver's license. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like your pen license. Remember the pen license?
I do remember the pen license. So they weren't allowed to shoot threes unless they can hit a decent clip. I'm actually just looking at my phone here because he sent me the stats. I don't know if this here it is. Is this something I can report? Is this public? Can this be public knowledge?
Do it.
I'll leave out the 8. No, I can't. This makes for the story. Okay, apologies to any Bridgetown basketball players. Under 13's country champ squad. So they're obviously not bad. They got a chance to try out for their license to shoot 3-pointers in games at training. To get the license, you had to make 4 of 10 with no defenders on you. That's pretty good.
Okay. That's for that age group. That's a relatively high standard.
Okay. That is a high standard, right?
You've got to be a B student at threes to get your license there.
Yeah. Okay. 4 of 10 with no defenders on you. 7 kids tried. So 70 shots went up.
Oh.
2 makes in total.
Wow. Wow. Are you asking me, would Moller beat that number?
2 of 70.
Wow, that's a lot of threes go up for 2.
That's 2.8% shooting percentage.
Wow.
I don't think...
Sorry, Bridgetown. That's burning the bridge there. No licenses for anyone.
Scouting report on the Bridgetown under 13s. They're going to attack the rim.
Yeah, they're going to attack the rim. Leave them open from the outside. Yeah, but going back to Moller and that. Yeah, I mean, I think Moller, his engine, I like it. I just think... But I just thought it was really sad that... forced out of the game like that. Hopefully there's not too many. But it does leave Adelaide with an open spot and... It's, you know, the thought is, Adelaide are going to bring in another import. Yeah, I don't think so. They were quite intent on getting one import, and whether they even fill that spot, I wouldn't be surprised if they're over there going like, oh, great, one less contract to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Take the floor.
That strikes me as the Adelaide mentality at the moment. It's, penny pinching.
And shrink, he was an odd spot. He was an odd spot in there, an odd fit with, Keanu Pinder come in and Johnson as well as Humphreys and so on. But yeah, we've spoken about that.
Yep.
Andrew, I think we've reached, I don't think there's anything, I think there's nothing left. I mean, at this point, when I hear NBL, that initialism, I don't think National Basketball League. I think Nitty, I can't think of another acronym. Nasty belly lint, you know, when you get that stuck in
your... I'm just calling it the No Basketball League.
Ah, that makes sense. No basketball league.
Yeah, did you see? I sent you that message a while ago.
Voiceless crowds.
Yes. Transmission is, it's through propulsion.
How interesting. It makes total sense. Yeah. I'd never thought about it. It's a simple leap in logic, but I'd never made it.
Down quiet crowd. And what a spooky experience to play in.
Yeah, it'd be like playing in Brisbane or Sydney. It would be interesting to roll that out You couldn't do that. You couldn't maintain the quiet. But it would be, it makes total sense. I mean, I would explore every option. Yeah. Also, the other thing is, if everyone's masked up, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea that, you know, quiet crowds, the transmission through propulsion or whatever you call it. Interesting little theory. I saw that article and I read it with real interest.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No.
There will be no season before they do that. And at this point, it's looking, can I just do a little bit of a round of applause for the guys at Overtime? Cam, Luke, Corey Homicide. And they still do it every week. I don't know how
they're doing it.
I watch it sometimes. Most weeks I do, but sometimes and they just keep doing it. I think good on them for doing something, because boy, this is, talk about losing momentum now. I mean, it's now what?
Yeah.
It's been 250 days since NBL basketball. How do you pick up after this?
And what's the quality of play going to be like?
I don't know. I mean, injury prevention, like no one's coming. Hopefully no one will be hurt. So that means, you know, your Phoenix team improved because they were terribly hurt. But good question. What is the style of play going to be, or the caliber of play? We'll find out. Well, touch wood, we find out.